Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
So, welcome everyone to today's episode. We're thrilled to have you here, and I'm thrilled to have Pete Moore from Integrity Square. And he's going to tell us a little bit about what he does and how he can help entrepreneurs. So welcome to the show, Pete. It's lovely to have you.
Thanks for having me on. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your thriving community of startup founders and executives and entrepreneurs that are making a difference in the world. And, you know, that all starts with their own community and their first location or their first product or their first service. Just as quick background, I am a native New Yorker. I grew up playing soccer goalie back in the early days because I didn't like to run around and I used to eat a lot of sugar from the ice cream man. That's why I became the goalie and kind of always put myself as an advisor or the member of the team that always was playing defense or was always the person kind of behind the groups that were, you know, engaged to score and win. I was making sure we didn't lose. And it's kind of been part of my DNA throughout to help advise other people to win. And on this podcast with you, I want to focus on through that experience, I actually people that start companies and really need to understand what they're getting into and the dedication that they are making to this business and making to their life and the sacrifices that it takes to be an entrepreneur. I think some people don't understand entrepreneurship and think that it's just another job that you signed up for. And what you really signed up for is a life of stress, a life of roller coaster rides without a seatbelt, and a life that could be highly exhilarating. At the same time, you think you're on, you know, the verge of failure at the same time. And I think every entrepreneur kind of feels that on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. And at the same time that you think that you're about to fail is the same time when you have to be the strongest leader and the advocate for your business. So it's an interesting dichotomy of how you have to operate in order to be a successful entrepreneur. And as you go through the interviews that come out on LinkedIn and you hear about, you know, the CEO of NVIDIA who used to work at Denny's and then the CEO of Whoop who said, you know, he was sitting on his parents' couch and he was on the verge of bankruptcy. And then he saw a LeBron James advertisement and he only had 100 Whoop products in the market, and LeBron James, one of the best players ever in the basketball community and worldwide, was wearing one of his, and that gave him the motivation to just keep going. You know, my background is I started working at a company that owned Gold's Gym International back in the late 90s. I was a private equity executive, so I'm a financial guy, but I had this itch to start an internet company. And for your audience that's, let's say, over 45, they'll probably remember AOL dial-up and Messenger. And I started up a company, and I had a vision to basically manage all the websites and all the sales management and software for the health club industry, which at the time was 30,000 health clubs. Now there's over 100,000. And what I unfortunately did not realize is that nobody wanted to put in an internet DSL line or broadband connection. They didn't want to buy a gateway or a Dell computer. And my business had 1,500 health clubs that were on servers that cost $11,000 a month. And I basically risked all my money that I had at the time, $66,000 of credit card debt, because the business, which was called Fitness Insight, was also Pete Moore. And Pete Moore was behind that. And Pete Moore never failed before. And I went to Harvard Business School and I was the president of my fraternity. And they don't teach a class at business school of when do you know when to say when. And I went back to banking after running this company for 3 years. And that was kind of an education in real business versus Harvard Business School business about what it takes to grow a business. And what I realized is that every business that I start or that I invested in going forward was literally a chemistry experiment. And what I needed to understand and what I want to get through as part of like one of the three takeaways of this podcast with you is that you have to be solving a frustration that your clients and customers want to solve now. You can't be a visionary and an evangelist and get in too early into a market and then try and educate the market for years because you're going to run out of money to educate them. So right now, to close out my background, I help people buy and sell health and fitness companies. I hate the word wellness because it came up from a Mayo Clinic scientist back in the day named Halbert Dunn, who was just trying to come up with the antonym of illness. So he came up with wellness. So wellness is basically the not sick industry. So I came up with an acronym with my team called HALO, which stands for health, active lifestyle, outdoors. And I'm trying to create the halo effect, the halo sector. And that includes any company that's providing a product or service to someone that wants to live a healthy lifestyle. And that is how I kind of coined what we're doing. And I wrote a book called Time to Win Again, which is how to run your business like a sports team. And we've been involved with probably a third of all the mergers and acquisitions and investments that have gone in to build all the Pilates and the boot camps and the Orange Theories and the Planet Fitnesses and the Gold's Gyms and the Crunch Fitnesses that you see around the country. You know, we've had our finger on about a third of all those boxes that have been built because we've been able to convince people to put money into this sector. I'll pause there. I know that was a little bit long-winded, but I'm from New York and I try to speak slower than I used to. And that is my story so far.
Well, Pete, that's awesome. I'm dying to know, where are you? You look like you're in a mountain cabin somewhere.
I have the luxury of being in my friend Adam and Stephanie Mastery's Woodstock getaway house right now. So I came up here for 48 hours of R&R and Kirsten and Gene podcast. So that this is my day job today is hanging out with you guys.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah, I'm in Sarasota, Florida. So I'm looking at you have a jacket. So you in upstate New York?
Yeah, I'm upstate of Woodstock, which is about 2.5 hours north of the city. I used to go to summer camp here, which was a very defining part of my life when you realize friends and networks and relationships and winning and teams and sports is like your most important things that you're doing. I really relish it. And when I came out, I took a walk this morning. And when you breathe in and you've been in a place for like 10 years as a kid, it's like you breathe in like your childhood. Yeah. And it was really exhilarating for me to be able to do that this morning. So a little bit of an old school soul.
That's awesome. All those old school memories. And well, tell us what inspired you to write your book. Like, I know you want to help other people win, but tell us a little bit more about that and some of the lessons people will get from that book, because I just put it on my read.
We'll send it over to you. So what happened was, you know, I've been doing this since 1999, and myself, like I'm sure most of the entrepreneurs and audience here, went through COVID. And if you think about one of the most difficult jobs to have would be trying to raise capital for health and fitness bricks and mortar companies that were all closed during COVID. And it was almost like, if you guys are Star Wars fans or saw the first Star Wars, where Luke Skywalker is in the trash compactor and he's trying to keep all the different walls from crushing on his cohort there. The landlords, after 60 days, want to get paid their lease because it doesn't have a COVID clause that you can't stop paying your rent. Your members are all going on freeze because they don't want to really pay you to just work out on Zoom, so they cancel their memberships. Your debt provider who says, oh, I'm flexible capital. You know, flexible capital is flexible for about 90 days when they don't get paid interest, and then they're not flexible anymore. I was the advisor, or I like to say I was a certified, I'll say self-certified entrepreneurial therapist, probably like you were during COVID to your clients and your audience. You know, I was trying to help people get to the other side. And as I was trying to get to the other side, I always thought of it as like, hey, we're kind of down in soccer or in roller hockey or, you know, in softball, like we're down 5-0 and we're only in like the middle of the game. So what do we need to do to make sure that we kind of tighten up and we got to fight every day, you know, and negotiate against each one of these counterparties? So it's almost like you're playing like a 3 or 4. If you're playing volleyball and you're in the middle as like the setter, but you're actually playing 4 games at the same time and you just have to keep rotating around. So we helped keep a lot of people alive. We were able to negotiate and basically go in and parachute and help restructure some companies, take some companies through voluntary bankruptcy so they could get out of some of their leases. And at the same time, Netflix, I watched, or it was HBO, Netflix, I watched The Last Dance, which was the Michael Jordan documentary about how to build a dynasty and how to have a team and how to have the commitment to winning and the discipline to do it. And I started thinking about all these things that, wow, if my company actually treated their employees like professional athletes, how would that change? What if instead of giving everyone in my health club or my clients' health clubs, instead of giving them a shirt that said trainer on the back, what if I put Wilson on the back? What if I put Gene? What if I put your last name and your favorite number? Would that change the way you behave inside the club? Because now you're playing on my field. You know, you might play back in high school. You might be a college athlete. You might have been a professional athlete. And now you're a personal trainer, or now you're the general manager. I always felt like you probably didn't. Kirsten, did you play any sports back in the day or nothing on your side? Well, Gene, like, you know, you put a jersey on and like, it's like, okay, it's game time. And I feel like in business, people don't necessarily feel like every day is game time, but it really is. And the health club industry and the boutique studio industry are basically an extension of playing team sports because you get to go into a place where there's loud music, there's turf, there's weights, there's group exercise classes, there's team cycling. So I said, okay, look, give everyone a uniform. The other thing I said was, if somebody leaves your club and your employment or they get fired, take their jersey back and take the embroidered name off the back and put someone else's name. So everybody knows that you are on my team or you're not on my team. And that's how a lot of clubs think about employees. Also, when we grew up, it used to be that you made a team. If somebody got injured, then, we didn't add another kid to the team, right? We just played with the team that we had. If you had 12 people on the volleyball team and somebody twisted their ankle or somebody, broke their arm, okay, we're down to 10 people. A lot of companies hire people constantly, and managers and executives are constantly adding people. So I say, why don't we just do it twice a year? Okay. We're going to hire you in January and you're going to play for us this season. All right. I'm not giving you lifetime employment. And I want to find out day to day, do I win or lose with you on my team? If you watch hockey, there's something called a plus minus ratio, which basically means how many times were you on the ice when we scored and how many times were you on the ice when someone scored on us? And it's a plus minus number and it's a key performance indicator. So I tell my clients as part of it, like what constitutes a win? And a lot of people in business don't really think about, did I win today or did I lose today? Right? So if you're a baseball player, you better get used to losing because you're going to lose at least like 62 games a year. Maybe you'll win 100. That's like the best that you're going to do. But you're probably going to win 90 and you're going to lose, like 72 if you're in the playoffs. So what I tell my clients and I tell people that I talk to on Time to Win Again is like, you have to tell me every day if you won or lost. So I keep a calendar with a win-loss every day, whether and part of it's qualitative and part of it's just how I feel. Did I get a workout in? Did I sleep well? Did I eat well? Did I limit my sugar? Did I talk to my friends? Did I laugh today? Did we do $2,000 a day in sales if I'm a health club or a boutique studio operator? So I feel like people need to make a scorecard and you should treat yourself like, did the team win? And I did, it was great, Gene and Carson. I did a seminar one year for a Gold's Gym chain. And then I went back the next year to the same group. And I went around and I said, it was October. So I said, you have the 9 months. What's your record so far per month? And this group had instituted their own win-loss calendar on their own based on what were our sales today? How many employees did we keep? What was our traffic? What was our personal training conversion per month? And they had a scorecard. And I went around to like the nine managers and they came in all wearing Gold's Gym football jerseys. And I almost like cried because I'm
Oh.
like, they're playing like a team and they like took what I said and they're like, hey man, we got football jerseys, we got baseball jerseys, and we got hockey jerseys. And like, all like every day we switch them up. I'm like, that's awesome. And everyone's got their name on the back. So they feel like they're an athlete again. So I go around the room and I'm like, what you reckon? And they go, the first guy looks at his book and he's like, we're 7-2 this year. Right. So every month they're like gauging, like, did they win this month? I got taken aback because I had implemented this for myself, but no one's really implemented like a, have you seen a company that does like their own win-loss daily or monthly? No. So I was like, this is awesome. So I want to get that out there. Like, it's time to win again. And the reason why the book's called Time to Win Again is because I wrote it during COVID and all my clients were basically like in hibernation mode and trying to make sure, like, hey, can I stay in business until like the vaccine comes out? So once you get to the other side, right now it's like, okay, it's time to win again. Let's like, we don't have to feel like, don't look back, look forward. I always tell people like, lose your rear view mirror because no one cares about what happened in the past. And a lot of executives and my mom, my Jewish mother says, shoulda, coulda, woulda done this. Like, doesn't matter what you shoulda, coulda, woulda done. It's what we're gonna do today and tomorrow that matter. So there's 52 takeaways in the book. It's written as a caricature book. So it's kind of like Good to Great meets Where's Waldo. And I do a podcast called Halo Talks with executives. So I have bobbleheads of everybody on there. So that's my long-winded answer of why I wrote the book, was to make people realize, like, if you could be better and you can win more days than lose, then you're going to be a profitable business. And then you could come back to me and say, hey, I ran this business for 10, 15, 20 years. I want to sell it. And as a guy that I used to work for used to say to me, his name's Peter Brockway. He was a private equity investor, a very savvy guy, really nice guy. One of my investors and good friends. He says, if you create value when you want to sell it, someone is going to pay you for the value that you created. If you run a business and you put the right pieces in place and you understand your special sauce, And in our industry, if you understand your unit four wall economics and can explain it to another investor of how the flywheel works, how do we make money here? A lot of people that you talk to don't, they'll say, like, I'm running this kind of store. Well, what does it really do? How do you make money? How do you get leads? How does the engine work? If I'm buying a business, I want to buy an engine. I'm not buying like a plane that glides. I want to buy a company that has an engine. That's how we think about it.
I think it's so awesome because it's a very inspiring title, How to Win Again After COVID, because I do feel like so many business owners, well, one, we saw a massive amount of people starting business during COVID, especially in the online space. That was kind of impressive. But yeah, I can imagine if you had that type of business where, you know, once you get knocked down that hard, sometimes it is hard to get back up and then it's hard to think, can I win again? So that's inspiring. So there's 52 lessons. Can you tell us, just give us one or two more lessons? Because it sounds like you've got some good ones in
So
there.
I love all team sports, and I'm a big football and hockey fan. And another thing that happens in football, as an example, is you get three timeouts in each, and every team takes all their timeouts. You know, they want to stop the clock because they're planning for a play. They want to stop the clock because something's about to go wrong, or they want to stop the clock because they fix something that just happened that was wrong that we don't want to happen again. Now, how many people have you met that said, hey, I took a timeout in my business. Okay. I changed the software, or I took a timeout. I closed the company for the day. Okay. I just put up a sign that says closed and I did sales team training. Or I got low morale. I took a timeout. I took everybody on a trip. Nobody takes timeouts in business to fix things. And it kind of drives me crazy because if you belong to a health club, okay, and they sell you personal training, the way that they used to sell personal training is you've been to like a health club where you buy like a 10 pack of personal training sessions. And then they wait for someone to like use the 10 pack and then they try and sell them again. Well, a lot of clubs over the last 15 years have taken those 10 packs and said, okay, Kirsten, for 10 sessions a month, we're going to charge you another $300 per month. And every month you use it or lose it. Okay. And I put you on there and I want you to use it because I want you to get results. But what I also want to do is I don't want to have to sell you every month and try and find you and track you down and annoy you to say, okay, let's like give me your credit card again, right? So a lot of clubs have put their personal training on what's called EFT or electronic funds transfer. So I'll pay $39 a month for the membership, and then I'll pay $299 for 8 or 10 30-minute sessions, small group training sessions. And it's generated a significant amount of revenue and a significant amount of results for members. And also what it's done is it's kept the personal trainers who are really good not looking for another job because they can get paid now. So it kind of covers all the different frustrations that you could have in your business. And you are keeping it on your credit card because you're using it. Or if I stop that, you're basically giving up hope and the vision of what you want to be, right? So there's a lot of reasons why this works. So I'll go to a health club operator. I'm like, do you guys have personal training on recurring? You know what? I think I'm going to, what month is, oh, it's August. I think we're going to put that in like January or February. Put it in like next week. Right? Take a timeout, get the software set up, do a meeting with your personal trainers, do a blitz to all of your members on September 1st, and stop leaving money on the table or telling me you don't have time to fix your business. Like, imagine you went to a game and like the team was not playing well. And at the end of the game, they're like, hey guys, you had six timeouts. How did you not take any of those to just calm people down, fix the play, and then get back on the field? So that's another thing. The other lesson that is important, that's the last one, is to always take the points. So, as a football analogy, you know, if you have the ball at the 10-yard line and you could go and you could try for a touchdown and get 6 points, or you could kick a field goal for three, you know, that's an important lesson. I have got a lot of entrepreneurs that say, hey, I want to sell my business. Somebody offered me $5 million for my, you know, pet supply business, but I want 5.5 or I want six. And I'm like, what are you going to buy with that extra $1 million that you think you're going to get after tax and after fees and expenses? You're going to have another like 400,000. What can't you buy with the 5 million that you're going to get? So to get the last dollar in every deal is like, you got to take the points. So I've had clients and every single one of them resents not taking the deal. Every single one. Because when you get a buyer to spend their time and they want to buy your business, you have to strike. And if that's off by 10% or 15, maybe even 20% of what you quote unquote want or need, just remember, if you sell your health club chain or restaurant chain for $20 million. And somebody was like, oh, that was worth 25. Okay, let's just say as an example, that $20 million pre-tax versus that extra $5 million, you can manage your lifestyle that you're not leaving anything on the table, you know, in your experience or in your, you know, to high five and to protect your family for generations ahead if you manage that properly. So you have to take the points is one of the other takeaways. And that's why teams manage the clock. They manage the business. Those are probably like three of the big takeaways. Treat your team like professional athletes, give them uniforms, take timeouts, and take the points when you have the ability to do it.
I love that. That is awesome. So your book is called, again, Time to Win Again, and we are excited that we are helping our clients as well get ready to win. So if people want to reach out to you, Pete, they're listening, they're saying, I love the sports analogy. I love everything that he has to say, and I need to talk to him. What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
I've got a Halo Talks podcast that we release weekly. I've got 2-minute financial drills that we do every Wednesday. Comes out on our network, which is through my firm Integrity Square, and at Halo Talks and at the Halo Advisors. So we'll have all that for you guys on the show notes. I'll also give you my email address, pete@integritysq.com. And my cell phone, if you want to text me, is 917-543-9455. And the reason why I give you that number is a quick story. There's a lot of health clubs and a lot of operators and a lot of business owners that you can't find their number on a website. You can't find their number like in the contact us. And I went into a restroom in Orlando for one of my clients who has 5 health clubs. And there was a sign above one of the urinals that says, if you have a problem, anything in this club, text me, Pleasant Lewis. And he gave his cell phone number. And I'm like, this is a guy who wants to find out what the problems are. And I want to fix them. And I want to connect myself to the member and be accessible. So why can't I give you my cell phone? Why do I have to like try and track it down? If you want to reach me, that's how you reach me. Send me a text.
I love that. Yeah.
Do it, right?
That's right.
Well, I
That's
love what
great.
you guys are doing. And look, every entrepreneur who succeeds is helping in some way, impacting the next person or creating like the inertia for someone to be like, hey, you got a good idea, just go after it. I think the only thing people need to realize is that what you're doing an experiment, okay? And sometimes in chemistry, experiments don't work for whatever reason. So the worst thing you could do is be like a failing entrepreneur for 15 years, right? The best thing you could do is like have 5 different companies that you start, and each one's like a 3-year experiment. And you're going to find the one that actually is the frustration that you're solving. I always start when people come in and say, what's a frustration that you're solving? And is someone willing to pay for that? That's where the business comes from.
I love that. Well, Pete, we will make sure that we have all your contact information, including your phone number, in the
Thank you.
show notes below. And we can't thank you enough for joining us today.
Yeah, well, I'll be a subscriber and I appreciate what you guys are doing and keep charging forward and have a great rest of the summer. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.